In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on 1701 AM, the Voice of Charity Radio Network, and also live on Cradio Online Radio as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today. And this fine night, finally, I'm back in the studio, as you can tell the quality of the graphics. So we thank our audio engineer, Jesse, and everybody. It's such a blessing to be back in the studio, and it's definitely more enjoyable, much more comfortable. So thank you for everybody who worked behind the scenes so hard to make possible the Catholic Toolbox radio show. And this week we have a very special guest, good friend Andre Abahab. Welcome, the founder, co-founder and founder of Catholic Apparel. Welcome.
Hey George, thanks for having me.
Welcome. Hope you've been well through this time in isolation. Finally, everybody was waiting for the 1st of June. It's as if everybody has sprung to life out. You know, we can finally go to church. We can meet with people. It's absolutely such a blessing. How's things been on your end during isolation?
Well, to be honest, from my side, it's just made everything more simple in our approach to our faith. You know, everything that matters the most, which is the family, the focus was brought back to the family during this time, and it really, really made me appreciate how much I love Mass, and I really missed it a lot. And as I was speaking to you earlier before we got on air, you know, it makes you want Mass that much more. We're a lot hungry for Mass, and hopefully, God willing, more and more people will be able to go back to Mass and enjoy the sacrifice of the Mass, which we've missed so much.
Yeah, what I love so much was, like, when we first spoke, I mean, it was over the phone, it's as if, like, I mean, we just clicked, and that's what I love. We just clicked about the whole idea that during this time of COVID-19, our Lord is using this as a time of purification for us. The world is in so much need of purification, and He put those who are on a level who attend Mass daily, like myself and probably yourself as well, those who attend Mass daily and try to go to Mass every single day, and those who don't go to Mass at all or go twice a year, He put us on the same level. So on our side, there's no pride. And on their side, there's purification to think about what really matters and to get back to Mass. That's how we sort of saw it. And then the whole idea that now there's 50 people, now we have to appreciate getting to Mass on time to sort of make the cutoff.
Exactly. And not only that, but things like, you know, confession, you know, where all of us at some point in our life have the habit of turning the, you know, the confession line into a weekly event where you're kind of confessing the same sins over and over, like a turnstile.
Yeah, and like the habitual sin.
It kind of forced us to, you know, what the question, a lot of people have questions like, well, it's hard to get a confession. I need to get a confession. But, you know, the answer could be, well, stop sinning. And that's another way of looking at it. And
that's,
so,
yeah, definitely.
You know, it made it hard to get to confession, but gee, it made us think twice before sinning or doing something that you would regret. So, you know, it built us and it made us stronger. We were comfortable, put it this way. Everybody was comfortable. We took Mass for granted. And, you know, I know a lot of people know me for the video, The Narrow Path, but it's exactly that. You know, we lost that comfort zone. And it really brought us back to even grounds. People who go to Mass, who don't go to Mass, we're all even. And hopefully my prayer is when these doors reopen, God willing, there'll be people who were going to Mass before this coming back, and God willing, people who haven't been to Mass for such a long time also jumping back and coming to Mass. So that's what we pray for. And inshallah, that happens.
God willing, definitely. I think this is an opportunity. And I've, from the very beginning, I was speaking to parish priests, I was speaking to people, let's use this time to capitalize. The fact that we have Masses live may at least expose the Mass again to people who don't come back to Mass. And we can bring people, we can purify ourselves as practicing Catholics, and we can bring people in, that apostolic zeal. But now let's get into the whole story behind Catholic Apparel. I mean, it's been such a success, and congratulations to you and your wife on the tremendous success that you've achieved in distributing such beautiful hoodies. And as you can see, for those on Facebook Live, I have my beautiful Miraculous Medal hoodie, and thank you very much for giving it to me. I'm absolutely proud to wear it around and bring and at least raise some hearts and minds to God out in public just by wearing a hoodie.
Exactly right. So I guess that the story of Catholic Apparel, so it was founded in 2018, and essentially, for people who don't know, it's a redirection of streetwear, simply that, for people proud of their Catholic faith. And more importantly, it's a reminder for us and for those in the world, the value of our Catholic faith and the values within that Catholic faith. So the person wearing and the person looking at them, it's equally as important. And obviously, you know, I've tried to come to the market with designs that are appealing. You know, I know in the US market, for example, you know, there's a lot of hoodies that have very, very heavy graphics. And, you know, it's kind of like tattoo-ish all around. And that's awesome. You can get that. But I think the look that I was getting was more a basic look that people would want to wear and are proud to wear that around in public. So in terms of, you know, the apparel that is available on my website, www.catholicapparel.com.au, so, you know, we have hoodies, obviously, right now. We're seeing a lot of hoodies come through. And then, obviously, tees and caps and beanies. And
winter's God willing, coming up as well. Winter's actually here.
Well, exactly. So it's been great. I know, for example, the Feast of St. Charbel is approaching in July, and that's usually a busy part of the year as well for me. But, you know, back to Catholic Apparel, the logo itself, I'm not sure whether you know your viewers know about the
Give us a bit of a background, yeah, because the first thing that strikes us is that when we look at the logo, for those who aren't Maronite or understand the Maronite heritage and spirituality and the story of St. Charbel, give us a bit of a rundown for our listeners about the whole logo.
Exactly. So, I mean, first of all, but before I go into the logo, you know, the approach I wanted with Catholic Apparel was not just for Maronites, but for Catholics in general.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we all fall under the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, first and foremost. But absolutely, you can't keep a good Maronite down. And I know that. It's been amazing. Their support's been amazing. And I'm a proud Maronite myself. So that's the first bit. But in terms of the CA logo itself, basically, I remember I was sitting in church, meditating on the picture of St. Charbel there in Punchbowl, sitting there and just staring at it and thinking, you know, I watched the letter C form a halo around the letter A, which looked just like the hood of St. Charbel. And from there, CA was born. CA was just how I described it. And like I said, it was about appealing to Catholics in general. And I just thought, St. Charbel, wow, what an awesome saint to be associated with. And, you know, he is my patron saint. And obviously, Catholic Apparel was built upon, obviously, Christ, his mother, and all the saints. But, yeah, St. Charbel himself is a big reason why Catholic Apparel is around today.
Yep.
And I guess, you know, the story about Catholic Apparel, I guess, goes before that. I mean, the story of Catholic Apparel kind of began, I think there was a pivotal point for Catholic Apparel where really in 2018 there was the marriage debate. And not just the marriage debate here in Australia, but more so in Ireland. And, you know, sorry, Georgie?
We all remember that time. That was it's a military time for everybody.
Yeah, so, you know, I actually was listening to, I think, AM radio for some reason, and the news came up and they were talking about the referendum that was just about to happen in Ireland. For me, I kind of heard about, you know, marriage equality through the US and channels like that. And I just thought, you know what, that's just the US, things like that happen. But when they started talking about Ireland, I'm like, wow, that made me just kind of think about that a bit more deeply.
The land of St. Patrick. What a disgrace to his name.
Right. You couldn't get a more Catholic land than Ireland.
Exactly.
And obviously Australia has their history and ties with Ireland, right? So anyway, so it made me pay attention. And I thought, no way, you know, this won't happen. Prayed the rosary really hard that night. And the next morning I wake up and I heard the news that it got up.
Wow.
And I just could not believe it.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I'm like, how did that happen? You know, surely, you know, Ireland was the last place this would happen, but yet it happened. And I just couldn't forget thinking about how sad St. Patrick would have been.
He would have rolled in his grave.
You know, it was a sad, sad point. And that really, really, that rocked me. And I guess at that point, you know, it started getting louder here in Australia. And at the time in 2018, I was working with a great Australian company who I actually love. I loved working for, and they provided me with so many opportunities in my career there. But I guess the culture started changing, and for me, I couldn't compromise that. You know, I couldn't compromise my faith even though I loved this company so much, I could not compromise my faith, even though the culture had changed. Absolutely. And it just felt like it changed overnight. And so I remember receiving an internal email to all staff members. I think there's over 30,000 staff members, right?
Yes.
And, you know, it was about the topic, and it was kind of telling us that this is a really difficult situation, which I understand. I truly understand it was a difficult situation. But the way that they worded that email, where we get it's a difficult situation, but the right thing to do was to vote yes. And again, that was the last straw for me in terms of the culture there. And, you know, I knew a lot of good people at the time who, you know, who were scared of losing their jobs, scared of speaking out. But I was just thinking, you know, where were all the Catholic voices at this point?
Were those people in that great company who we won't name? Obviously, we won't disclose who that is.
Yeah.
But were they Catholics, or were they people of other religions concerned, and there was an absence in the Catholic voice?
I just think the amount of pressure that people put on the no camp was massive. Yeah. And anyone, not just Catholic, but, you know, Muslims, Protestants, all types of people of faith, were too scared to speak out. Even within our intranet, all these comments against people who spoke up, it was just overwhelming, and they had no support for those people at all.
I mean, they were just absolutely tolerant. They preached tolerance. They preach it as if it's gospel and tolerance. It's tolerance for everything to suit their interests. And when it comes to a view which disagrees with them, they're intolerant all of a sudden, and they become hypocrites, and we can call them hypocrites. And that's absolutely, it's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
It's not tolerance. It's an agenda.
You don't tolerate a sunny day, you know?
Yeah.
You tolerate a rainy day or a cold day, like today was freezing this morning. But anyway, so for me, that was a really, really telling moment for me. And anyway, I questioned, where were all the Catholic voices, right? They had rainbow lanyards, you know, they had Purple Day, we're at Purple Day. They had media support, you know, I'm sure you'll recall all the different businesses and companies lining up to have their logos published.
Exactly.
You know, in full spread newspapers, doing their ads.
Makes you wonder who owns them and what kind of agendas they're trying
everything,
to promote.
Everything. And I get they were supporting it, and we have to pray for them, because they don't understand that the Catholic faith is about life. You know, anything that doesn't lead to life, we don't support. And that's basically it. And it's not just gay marriage, but, you know, mortal sin in general, contraception.
Exactly. It's holistically, you know, abortion, everything.
Okay. It's not just that. Anyway, so that's what was happening. And, you know, I stood up for my faith. I spoke to my manager at the time and said to him, look, I appreciate how you are treating me because, you know,
how
I'm
did
Catholic.
He treat you as a manager?
Well, he didn't treat me badly at all, right?
Even though you made it clear that you oppose and you stand against.
Exactly.
You would
exactly.
vote no.
I mean, my manager, to be clear, he had same-sex attractions.
Wow.
Right? And I approached him.
Yep.
And I asked him, you know, and I sincerely said to him,
in
and
charity
I think
and in love, right?
Yeah, but the Holy Spirit, I guess, it gave me the courage to get up and just speak my mind. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit, you know, the advocate, he came in last minute and he said, Andre, move aside. I'll tell you what to say. And I just followed his words, you know, and the Holy Spirit essentially said to me, thank you for treating me without discrimination. You know I'm a Catholic, and you know what marriage means to me, and I appreciate that you haven't treated me differently or shown me any disrespect, because you could have quite easily dropped me off emails or not invited me to meetings or things like that, but you didn't. You've shown no change, and I appreciate it. And so the Holy Spirit helped me, put the shoe on my, you know, I guess, yeah, the advantage was in on my side rather than the other
exactly.
way. And really, for me, that was a really, really special moment for me. But as it was, soon I was made redundant. And I'm not sure whether that was the cause for that, but God knows.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't change it again if I had my time again. That's just the way it is.
Exactly. You know, I think redundancy is sort of God's call, that you've done a good job and there's no fault of your own and it's time to move on, you know, external factors that come in from the other side. But that's absolutely just amazing. And this just shows the mutual respect, that little segment there of you with the same sex attracted manager, mutually respecting each other's views.
Yeah.
However, disagreeing openly and bluntly, even on such a controversial thing, that is a great example of how we need to function as a society. And we as a church, I believe we are for this and we want this. But it's the other side that's always agenda driven and trying to tear the church down. I mean, it's just absolutely an example of how society needs to function, our Western civilization needs to function, Andre. And that's absolutely amazing.
And look, there are an unbelievable amount of great people in both camps.
Absolutely.
Right? And in fact, you know, I refuse to use the G word for that camp.
Exactly.
Or the H word or whatever. It is simply, we're all children of God and we all just want to belong. And the more we show our love towards our fellow human beings, you know, things will start changing. It all comes down to love. You know, my son at school had his project the other day about the descent of the Holy Spirit and what it meant, you know, and God said, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Mm. It's all about love. That's the first condition, love.
Exactly.
Now, you can go to daily mass. You can pray your 5 rosaries a day. You can read your Bible scriptures. But if you show no love, you've got nothing.
Exactly. That's what we hear about in the Catholic Toolbox, which is then how do we actually practically take it into action? But let's now continue on into how you then moved on from that great corporate company and founded the Catholic Apparel. I mean, it's been such a success.
So essentially, again, I guess just on the last bit of that story, you know, if they could wear it purple, then we can wear it Catholic.
Exactly.
Right? So that's basically where it kind of
see
was
where you're
born.
Going.
Yeah. So God made me redundant. That gave me the time and the space to think about it a bit more and essentially turn this idea into reality.
Exactly.
And it is still a mustard seed, but it's showing so much potential. And, you know, Catholic Apparel is not about me. It's not about my wife. It is about people of faith, our Catholic brothers and sisters who have embraced it so much. And you would not believe the inspirational stories that I've heard in my in my Catholic Apparel journey, whether it being, you know, at different pop-ups during the year, at different events, but some of the stories that people have come up to me about why they share their faith, it's been absolutely amazing. And I guess later on, Georgie, you know, when we go through some practical tips and things like that, I'll go in a bit more detail as to you know, some of those examples.
Exactly. And look, what's absolutely amazing, going back to the logo, I mean, it's just when I first looked at it, I knew, there you go, Saint Charbel. And now I actually see when you spoke about the C and the A, when you were sitting at church looking at Saint Charbel and you were reflecting, the A is obviously the pointy part of his hat, the hoodie part. And then the C is obviously the top of
that's
edge.
Right, the halo.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just say it clicked to me, and it's absolutely phenomenal. The example of Saint Charbel, I believe, had a lot to do with your concept. That, you know, he had his head bowed down and he showed us the way. Saint Charbel right. was a man of few words. Saint Charbel was That's a man right. in isolation. When he left his family to go, he said to his mother, who came to see him, "I wish to see you." He said, "You know, we'll see each other in heaven." And Saint Charbel renounced the world, and he showed the world. He renounced the world, and never wanted to be in the world, in order to pray for the world and grow in holiness. And look at how countless generations honor his name. And Catholic Bell is doing a tremendous service to his name in promoting his example to both those who are Maronite and those who are not. I mean, he's a saint of the Universal Church. He's not, and even in the Latin Rite, Saint Charbel Macluf is celebrated. I'm not sure which day it is, but I can look it up. He has a feast in the Latin Rite, and he has a feast in the Byzantine Rite as well. He's a saint of That's the right. Universal Church and an example, and one of the greatest mystics, I believe, arguably, of the Universal Church, comparative to Saint Anthony the Great, Saint Padre Pio. He's performed thousands of miracles worldwide in the United States, Mexico, Lebanon, and even those with from other religions. I mean, Saint Charbel has been a tremendous example for all of us.
Amazing. And I think the most important thing for me in the Saint Charbel story is how powerful our faith is, because at the end of the day, we're talking about a Maronite man who was locked in his cell basically all day, every day. I mean, he obviously came out and labored through the heat, yeah. through the snow, through the rain, and was always putting others first and going through valleys and mountains to help his fellow human being. But the fact of the matter is he was a hermit and he was stuck in a cell.
Absolutely.
And now the whole world knows him. And it wasn't through him, but the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, that allowed that to happen. And I always think about it. You know, sometimes we work ourselves down by trying too hard, trying to please everybody, trying to carry 1,000 things at once. But the message in all of this, in Saint Charbel, in Jesus, and how he only chose 12 apostles, is simplicity. It's pureness of heart. It's the, you know, the charity of children, the love of children, the faith of children that helps us. That gets us over the line. And it's not about the wise minds and about how many words a minute you can type.
Yeah.
Now, rationalism. It has nothing to do with that. And just quickly, one little story. I was invited to my son's parent teacher night a few years ago. I think my son at the time was in year one. And, you know, I was so proud to go into his classroom and sit down. And I remember his teacher saying, "This is where Peter sits." I'm like, "Fantastic." I sit down. And the teacher started to summarize, my son's performance. And, you know, I was listening and I looked down and I noticed on one of his books, his exercise books,
yep.
was a hand-drawn picture of the cross on the front of his book. And that just blew me away. It just blew me away, and I'm like, "Wow, Dad, you drew the cross, Jesus' cross, in the front of your book. You're obviously thinking about him. You drew that cross." And for me, the love of Jesus, and I'm sure that's the same case with everyone, but it overpowers what mark you get in maths, what mark you get in English, and all Absolutely. The worrying that we do and all the competing that we do. The most important thing is the love of Christ. Absolutely. And if you've got that in your heart, if you've got that child faith, that childlike love, then I promise God is going to give you bigger and better things to do in your
life. Andre, let us have the childlike love and enlighten us. What are some three practical tips where we can take action to evangelize through the way we dress? Because it's Absolutely. A big thing. I mean, the way you dress can really... Do you know how many conversations I've had with people just because, you know, I've worn a youth group T-shirt or a Christian T-shirt or a cross? It starts conversations. And even without words, as St. Francis said, preach the gospel always and use words if necessary. This is the perfect way where instead of this is what I say. Instead of buying a jacket with all sorts of things from any department store, why not get a hoodie, something, a shirt, which can evangelize at the same time? Enlighten us, for the love of Christ.
I think quickly before I jump onto the practical tips, just in terms of scripture quotes, I think the quotes that I guess come to mind for me with Catholic apparel, the first one, which incidentally was the gospel for today in our Maronite rite, which was Mark chapter 16, verse 15, which is to proclaim to all nations. And I just thought that was amazing. That was today's mass, today's gospel. And so, for me, it's about, proclaiming God's word, sharing it with all nations, going on our usual path, whether that be to the local shopping center, whether it be to the chemist, or on your way to school, this is what it's about. And I'll go through that now in my practical tips. So that's definitely that. And I also was, I guess, contemplating Ephesians 6, verse 11, which is, wearing the armor of God. And it's a type of armor of God. I'm not going to compare it to the real armor of God, obviously, through prayer and sacrifice, and obviously the other great tools that we have. But it's a type of armor, because at the end of the day, in the society that we live in the culture we live in, you're kind of putting a target on your forehead by wearing this in public. And
I bet you are.
You are. I can tell you now. It's like I compare it to a priest wearing his collar in public. You've got to do it. You've got to represent. And I guess, and with represent, I'll jump into our practical tips. That's three practical tips.
Number one
practical tips is to rep with respect. So represent with respect. I guess what I mean by that is, we could wear, the words on our back and, head bowed down, show us the way. But, if you're not acting in a Christian-like manner, then it doesn't mean anything. In fact, it puts our faith in a worse position than it already was.
Absolutely.
But I am so fortunate, Georgie, I'm held together by altar servers in the front line, priests, seminarians, mums and dads who are picking up their kids from school, or mums and dads who are at work on job sites. I have my mates, shout out to Andrew B and Carl, who I always reach out to for some advice on the Catholic apparel journey, things like newborns, even George, I'm talking about newborns. They're breathing their first breath of life, and they get a onesie to wear out of the hospital. The first thing that they wear is Saint Charbel on their back. For me, that is what Catholic apparel is about. And I won't forget my own family, I'm the youngest of five boys in my family. Even my own children in my own family, my wife and all those around me, Catholic apparel is just living and breathing in all of us. One of the great things about Catholic apparel is that, I've got my 4-year-old son, my daughter, and my eldest son, they're coming to me with ideas. Oh, Dad, can you get this on the next design?
Exactly. It doesn't stop. It's a living concept. I mean, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
So that's what faith is about. It's not just about, saying our prayers for half an hour.
It's not just a robotic ritual. It has meaning. It's living. And it's just like the whole concept of wearing and representing is absolutely phenomenal. Let's now go into our second practical tip for our listeners.
The second one is know the faith basics.
Yep.
Now, what I mean by that is, you mentioned earlier, people will approach you. I can guarantee you wear Catholic apparel, someone will approach you.
You're going to get that question.
Yeah, you're going to get that question.
Just wear it through Newtown, for instance, or wear it through the city, yeah, the CBD, wear it through the Western suburbs, wear it through.
Exactly. So, you know, I remember, you know, wearing at the airport. Somebody came up to me. They started asking me questions.
Wow.
At a footy game, I took my son to the NRL Grand Final last year. I was given some free tickets, and I took my son along. I had a father and son thing, and you know, I was wearing my St. Charbel tee, and I had about four or five people come up to me that day. So know the saint or the verse that you're wearing. You know, be ready.
Exactly. Because
that is the opportunity. The only example I can share with somebody before Catholic Apparel existed was good old Ash Wednesday, or even Ash Monday, in the CBD. You know, where you'd
Ash
come
Monday,
back from St. Mary's Cathedral, you know, with the ash splattered all over our foreheads, and you walk into Mass, and I remember a person coming up to me saying, "Dude, did you just change a tie? You've got some dirt on your forehead." I go, "That's not dirt," you know.
And spiritual wheels. And so
it led to a conversation, and that's how we evangelize. And so the hoodie is no different. You put that on, somebody will approach you. But be ready.
Guaranteed.
Know your faith basics.
1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that lies within you, or an answer for the hope that lies within you. And we have to be ready. And now let's be ready for the third practical tip.
Amen,
Andre.
Georgie. Yep. The final bit, I guess, you know, wearing CA or Catholic Apparel is about supporting our faith in our community. Now, what I mean by that is the tip is, guys, we need to start building up our Catholic and Maronite community. We have to. We have to stop, I guess, supporting, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong entirely, but, you know, when we support, I'm just going to name it, right?
When
we support Adidas, you know, Nike, and those types of brands.
Secular brands.
They look great.
Yeah.
And there's no sin in wearing that. It's fine. I mean, people practice. I mean, lots of people do. I still wear it. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
There's nothing wrong with it.
But what we're doing is we're providing our hard-earned money to these companies who will most likely use it in a marketing campaign against us, against our faith.
Exactly.
Have you ever been to a hairdresser where – you know, you've got a really bad haircut and
many times
you walk out and you say thank you, but guess what? You end up going back again, right? You end up going back again. And so it's like that, right? We're drowning in shallow water. So we're just doing these things, not realizing it's going to come back and hurt us.
Exactly.
So we need to start supporting our own community,
building our own
community.
That is a phenomenal point.
Every item sold, for example, helps CA grow, right? We grow by you guys supporting us. And essentially what we do is we're building up the Catholic family. And I know, for example, Georgie, what you're doing with the Catholic Toolbox, all these amazing charities out there like QMHR, you know, Maronites on a Mission, Rosaries for Life, Veracis Media, who incidentally, I'm going to be on their show on the 24th of June.
Yep.
So I'm excited for that one. But essentially, you know, these are the things that we need to be doing. We need to be building each other up. And essentially, Jesse, who I know is the sound engineer for your show, you know, I remember
big
being,
shout out to Jesse behind the scenes.
Yeah, shout out to Jess. Awesome job, man. So, yeah, like, you know, I was at St. John the Beloved. I was at St. Charbel. I was at St. Luke's at Reesby. I've been there, done that in our first year. And I won't forget QMHR. They gave me the first opportunity to pop up at their event where they had like 1,000 people turn up. So Batty Moosa and Naza and the team there, thank you. And so essentially what I was able to do was to build the Catholic Apparel brand. And basically, the proceeds that I earned at that event went straight to that charity.
Absolutely.
Went straight to that cause. And so I was able to, I guess, collect a bit of charity along the way through just doing my job. All I want to be able to do, to be honest, is to be able to buy a hoodie so that I can sell it on. It's as simple as that.
Exactly.
And so that's what we're about. It's about giving back to charity, you know, and
as support Christ your said, own.
You know, as Christ said, I was naked, I was sick, I was hungry, and I was thirsty. You know, it really is about you know, our fellow human being and just being there for them.
That's absolutely important, Andre, what you said there. We had last week's episode with Akita Sanchez. We spoke about Catholic business networking, and that is something that you struck there, the heart of that episode. We spoke about, one of the tips was exactly what we spoke about here, one of the tools, is that support your own. Catholics, and I call it out very clearly, should support their own first. I mean, if we're going to wear a hoodie, why would I go to the shop down the road? I don't know where their money's going. Why, if I want a plumber, a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, and I don't have, I'm not engaged in any relationship beforehand, I should be thinking first and foremostly, how can I support organizations, who people who are Catholic, who then take the money, be open to life, like Catholic Apparel, for instance. People want to buy, winter's coming up. You can go to the shops, you can buy a hoodie, pay top dollar for it. And you know that that money's going towards supporting an organization which is going to propagate sin. And we're not saying that you have to, it's a moral obligation, but we should think as Catholics, how are we going to prioritize our own? How are we going to support Catholic Apparel? How can we support the Catholic Toolbox and what we're doing here? How can we support other Catholic businesses? There's nothing better I love to see than Catholic businesses all sitting around the one table, supporting each other, helping each other, so that when we all win, it's a win-win, and we can grow the faith. Because what are we going to do with these dollars? We're going to be open to life. We're going to expand our business to help the church, grow the church, propagate the faith. I mean, that is exactly what we're about, and you've hit the heart of it, Andre.
Exactly, George.
It's absolutely important.
Yeah. Sorry, George, I'm not sure whether you need to go on a break.
And so now, exactly, you've hit the heart of the time. Now we will take our break before we open the line to call in here with your questions or comments. The number is 9625611. That is 9625611. Or email us here at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. Or in the comments section, live video stream of the Voice of Charity Australia Facebook page. So stay tuned here on 1701 AM. We'll be back shortly. Back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, Georgia Manassa, here on 1701 AM. The Catholic Toolbox is also live for those tuning in with us now on Cradio, which is Parousia Media's online radio. You can tune in with us for those on cradio.org.au. So you can tune in through cradio.org.au. Be sure to subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes here, available in the Apple, iTunes, Android, and all other platforms. So if you miss this episode, you can go straight to any podcast platform. You can listen to us if you missed us here. You can also visually watch us on Facebook, on the Facebook Live, and also on our YouTube channel, which will be uploaded later tonight. So now we have an open line to call in here with your questions or comments. The number is 9625611. That is 9625611. Or email us here at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. Or in the comments section on the live video stream on the Voice of Charity Australia Facebook page. So you can comment here on the Facebook page or call us here on the magic number. So, Andre, we've spoken about so much here tonight about the whole concept, the whole journey of how you started in the corporate world and the world was attacking marriage. And, you know, it's a typical anti-Catholic culture. When you're in the corporate world, it's a world of sharks a lot of the time, and there's some great people there and everything, but you transitioned out of there and God spoke to you about the vision for the Catholic Apparel, you know, and the whole connection to St. Charles was absolutely inspiring for those listening us here tonight. And we spoke about the three practical tips, and one of them was to support Catholic businesses. So obviously no represent. Represent with respect. So we're spiritual reps, essentially. And this is our unit. And whatever we wear to represent, whether it's a priest in his state as a cleric, wears his Roman collar, whether we're lay people, or anybody else. We can wear things, streetwear, and we can dress to evangelize. You know how they say dress to impress? We are here tonight to dress, learn to dress to evangelize.
And George, I think the other bit as well is, you know, be his hands, be his feet. We're talking about Jesus, right? Wear his hands, wear his feet. You know, I remember, I think my man Andrew Bulos, he was at Mass one day and he was wearing the Our Lady of Guadalupe hoodie, and there was a person behind him who tapped him on the shoulder after Mass and told him her life story about how inspirational it was that she saw that picture that day. I think her mother or her father, I don't remember the story exactly, had passed away, and that was her favorite image. And it just so happened to be there on that day where she went to Mass, sitting in front of her. And so these are the other ways in which we can reach out to people, not just through evangelization, but really through inspiration, just by wearing it. Because, you know, the more and more we are proud of our faith. I mean, back in the old days, George, I'm not going to lie. My view was close the door. Don't let anybody see you praying. You know, don't let the left hand know what the right hand was doing. All that is important, and it is still important. And in fact, there are times where that is required. But in today's age, the guns are out, the weapons are out. We can't just sit there keeping it inside. You know, we have to do it a different way.
We have a moral obligation to evangelize. Our Lord has called us to grow in holiness, to evangelize ourselves and grow in holiness, so we can sanctify the world. Our mission as lay people. Not as monastics. Obviously, monastics have a different state of life. But our mission as lay people, and this is where the connection to St. Charbel comes in, that he was a monastic outside the world, praying for the world. But we need to then take that monastic spirituality and then apply and be monastics in the world, where we are praying, we are growing in holiness, and we sanctify the world by being there. We are a light to the nations. I mean, if we're not going to shine, who is? I mean, we have to be out there. And one of the ways is dressing. Because look, I mean, I was walking through Parramatta this week, and you walk through the city and you hear street preachers and they're screaming at people, and it often sounds acoustically very terrible. But you get the impression that a lot of people don't listen to that anymore. You know, standing up, wagging the finger to people, bashing people with a Bible, it doesn't work. That's why we've got to find practical strategies to implement our faith and evangelize people in a way which comes off as balanced, attracts people, doesn't put people off. We got to be cutting like snakes, and we have to be tactical, and we have to come up with real world strategies about how to engage people. And this is what's so important about Catholic Apparel. You've come up with a very practical strategy. And this is what we do on the Catholic Toolbox. We talk to people like yourself all over the world, and we get the secrets behind what they do practically to be effective with the gospel, not to just keep it as a theory, keep it as an idea. And you've done that very well. And one of those things is to dress to evangelize. Dressing to evangelize is so effortless in putting on, let's say, as what you called it, the armor of God. We put it on. But we represent with respect. I mean, it's about cleaning our attitude before we just put the hoodie on, or we put the shirt on that represents our Lord, or represents Catholic apparel, or any other kind of related shirt that may strike questions. And then the second practical tip is to learn the meaning behind. Because look, if you're going to wear something, you're going to have to explain it, right? You can't just wear miraculous metal. I mean, I've already worn this for over a month. I mean, everywhere I go, you know, usually at night, Petros Day, I've had about two people ask me the meaning behind this, and, oh, that's a beautiful hoodie. And you've got to be ready to explain it. I mean, so it's not just, oh, it's just a shirt I got, you know. You don't want that kind of an answer. You've got to be able to explain. And then,
like, for example, that miraculous medal, it is so powerful. It is so powerful. I remember watching a clip on YouTube I think it's, I forget, the name escapes me of the show, but there was a Jewish convert and Mary appeared to him and she said, he asked her, what was your favorite prayer, Mary? And she said, the prayer there on the back of the miraculous medal. Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. That is Mary's most favorite prayer. And I guess we need to converse with her, you know, hourly throughout the day, keep repeating that prayer. That's just another example of knowing what it's about. And there are many other stories like that, but that's just one example of
because you're going to be, you're like a target. You're going to be asked questions when you're out there wearing, you're representing with respect. And I mean, you look at other religions, certain other religions, and we all see they're proud. They wear their headgear. They wear their long robes. They wear it with pride. I mean, you go to universities, yeah. You go to open, they're proud of their faith. That's why do we have the true faith? The one true religion of God on earth.
Unbelievable.
And the one true church of Jesus Christ. Why do we not be proud of wearing a simple hoodie? I mean, we're not wearing something that distinctive. I mean, even clergy sometimes, if I was a priest or a cleric, I'd be absolutely proud. I'd be wearing the full cassock. I'd be wearing everything. You know, I wouldn't be wearing just the shirt, the Roman collar in the shirt. I'll be wearing the full cassock, you know.
Yeah.
We need to be proud. And these things are absolutely powerful. People don't know. We underestimate how powerful just simply dressing can be. When you dress as a firefighter, you inspire the respect of the public and people see what you do. You're represented by what you wear. And if we are marked by the sign of Christ as Christians, as Catholics, who have the true faith, outside which there is no salvation, and we have the true faith, why don't we wear things enough? And that's, and I point out myself, you know, I think Catholic apparel has really helped me to recognize that I should be wearing more, you know, not just wearing secular dress, but wearing more things to represent our Lord, because it's effortless and it can start conversations and I'm ready to answer those questions. But it's often hard to start those conversations. You know, when you're wearing something, you have a picture of Our Lady on your desk, you have the small images, visual things, people ask you questions. That's the best way to start, in my opinion, because it's hard to break it to people. You can't start by speaking about your faith straight away. People sometimes perceive you as a religious person. You don't want to get that impression. We have to be slow and tactical. And there's nothing better than just wearing something and being asked about it, because you're not the one preaching. You're just answering the question.
At the end of the day, the Catholic faith is all about signs, right?
That's correct.
It's all about signs. And we're a race who needs signs. We're a visible race. I mean, we need to think of the invisible. And that's really difficult without visible signs like statues, like relics, like, crosses and crucifixes. Things like that are so, so important for that person who was wearing it and for that person who isn't wearing it. Even holding the rosary, I know we can pray the rosary with our fingers and count to 10, but by you holding that rosary, somebody sees that you're praying the rosary and gets inspired by that. My sister-in-law today, she sent a link to the family group on WhatsApp of a video that went viral recently. An Amazon delivery driver. I don't know whether you heard about that or
not. No, I did not hear that. Enlighten me.
Yeah, so there was an Amazon delivery driver during this COVID-19 lockdown where she's obviously still delivering to people. In fact, it probably went through the roof during that time period. But this particular driver had arrived to this doorstep and she noticed a sign on the door saying that, you know, please do not enter. We actually have a disabled child that we're taking care of and we can't risk them being exposed to, you know, the risks of COVID-19.
Yeah.
And so this person, after she had dropped the item on their doorstep, she began praying. She stood there on the door for about 15 seconds saying a prayer, but the difference of that prayer, George, when she finished and that we knew that she prayed, was she did the sign of the cross at the end. Now, if she had stood and prayed, but didn't do the sign of the cross and then left, would they have known that she prayed?
Absolutely not.
They wouldn't have, right? So the sign of the cross and the mother and father and that family who saw that tracked her down. They saw that on their door video, on their door cam, and they said, who is that lady? We need to track her down. All because of what? The sign of the cross. And that wow. is what I'm referring to about our signs. You know, we are a walking sign for that fellow human being. We don't know what they're going through on that day where
and you they might have had an argument. Something.
You know, they may have prayed about something and you all of a sudden walk in front of that person and you've literally answered their prayer without you even knowing it. And so it's so important that we are showing signs to each other because, you know, without road signs, without traffic lights, without all that, it'd be chaos.
I've heard stories about people wanting to leave the Catholic faith and abandon. I believe Father Mitch Pacwell was one of them. He was at an airport and a lady said, Lord, show me a sign, otherwise I'm going to leave the church. And God showed her a sign, Father Mitch Pacwell walking by in his clericals,
exactly.
A priest wearing his clericals.
Exactly.
And that was her sign. She went back to confession and she told him that story. I'll just tell you another example. Father John Flader, I received spiritual direction. Let me know about a story about a guy, a cleaner. He cleans offices and he wasn't Catholic. He was some other religion. And there was this guy at work who was Catholic. I believe he was a member of Opus Dei. And he had a picture of Our Lady on his desk. And the cleaner every Thursday night was trying to clean. And he was wondering about that image of Our Lady. So every week he kept coming earlier and earlier just to see who sits there. And just the simple image brought him to the Catholic faith. He ended up converting. Long story short, he ended up converting to the Catholic faith just because Amazing. Somebody put an image of Our Lady on the desk. Now, imagine somebody was asking for a sign or somebody was in that situation. And instead of buying a hoodie from somewhere else, you've chosen to wear as much as possible to evangelize a hoodie of Catholic apparel or any other symbol of our faith.
Exactly.
And someone, our Lord puts you in their path and you cross paths and there you go. You're able to then explain and you're that beacon of hope for them.
And George, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Absolutely hit the nail on the head. And just to drive your point home, why it's so important today is because we were so in front on that scoreboard. You know, you go to a game and, I don't know, NRL's back, right? I'm not happy with NRL, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But,
neither am I.
You know, a team could be leading by 40 points or by 30 points, and they all of a sudden take their foot off the pedal, and they become complacent. And that team, without them realizing, are coming back and they eventually pull their pants down and win in the end, right? And so that's exactly like the Catholic faith. We were so in front, man. We were killing it, right? 2 billion, 3 billion, God knows.
Start with Christendom, the Middle Ages. We ruled kings.
We ruled
the society.
And then for something that attacked the family, the very fabric of the family, our sacrament, how in the world did that get up? If our faith, if we weren't, if we didn't have our eyes on the steering wheel on the road ahead, we literally took our eyes, we're looking at the scoreboard, we're that far in front, and now we're behind. I don't care what anybody says, we're behind.
We are.
And we need to fight our way back and get to the front where we need to be, where we deserve to be. Because if it wasn't for Catholics, we wouldn't have our schools, we wouldn't have our hospitals, we wouldn't have our universities, we wouldn't even have science because of the Catholic faith.
Father Georges Lemaitre, Big Bang Theory.
We are it, all right? Christ established that church, and it's up to us to keep that flag waving high and proudly. And by us wearing these signs and doing our little bits, being his hands, being his feet, we are helping Jesus achieve that. Because, you know, the battle of the family is here, but I look behind me and Our Lady inspires me, because in the end her immaculate heart will triumph. We have nothing to worry about. the gates of hell shall never prevail. So don't be anxious. For anyone out there listening, don't be anxious. You know, stop reading the media. Stop thinking the, you know, the when's the end of the world coming. All that God will take care of. Just worry about what you do.
And the worry salvation about your family of souls.
And stick to the basics. Have that childlike faith. And whatever happens, happens.
Absolutely.
But they've assured us, his mother and Jesus have assured us that they will prevail in the end.
Exactly. And look, Andre, it starts, you told us that we need to regain the battle. And it starts with putting on the armor of God. And in this case, put on something that can evangelize and start those conversations. And can you please tell us, how can we, how can those listening secure their, you know, their hoodies, their shirts? Where can they go to find you guys?
Cool. Thanks, George. So, look, essentially, we're online, catholicapparel.com.
www.catholicapparel.com.au.
Yep. We've got our Insta page, catholicapparel.com.au, which yep. I think we've got 3,500 or close to 3,500 followers. I think 3,300 to be exact. So that's growing, thank God. We've got our Facebook. And I'll be honest with you, George, I don't take care of the social media side. It's not my it's not my part.
I can tell from the interaction.
My beautiful wife takes care of that for me.
A big shout out to your wife.
Sorry, I'm not sure whether that secret's meant to come out, but it's out anyway. and the other thing as well, obviously, before this COVID-19 situation or this plandemic or pandemic, whatever you want to call it.
I call it a plandemic.
Yeah.
I question everything.
We were supporting, as I was saying earlier, different charities and popping up there and basically we'd pop up and have a store there and you can buy from us there as well. But right now, thank God, you know, it's still going well. And yeah, so you can go online and you could
www.catholicapparel.com.au and you can find all the products on your website and they can simply order and dispatch will be taken care of immediately. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, supporting Catholic businesses, putting the armor of God on, I mean, you and saving souls. That's the work of the church. So thank you for equipping us this week with the tools. Andre, God bless you and the work of Catholic Apparel. Hopefully we'll have you again soon.
Thank you for having me, mate.
Thank you very much. If you enjoy listening to the Catholic Toolbox, now that COVID-19 is clearing up, want to consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation. If you like any Catholic Toolbox gear or merchandise, again, putting on the armor of God, support our online store at spiritual.com/thecatholictoolbox or it's in the link on the live Facebook feed. So be sure to subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast right after this episode. If you missed this episode, you can go to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes on all platforms. Thank you for tuning in to the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasa. Until next week, God bless, stay safe, and take action. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith, to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.